Today, on Rainbow Country, American recording artist Rye Daisies. And we'll hear about two LGBT documentaries, Small Town Rage, Fighting Back in the Deep South, and The Gay, the Negro, and the Holy Mountain. Stay tuned for Gay Talk Radio Toronto Style, right here on Rainbow Country.
Hi, I'm Mayor John Tory, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
Rainbow Country may use words or phrases not suitable for all audiences. No matter who you are, no matter what you do, we all have a story to tell. And it starts right here on this gay radio show. We lift our voices, share our stories, and we'll raise our pride. After all, we've come a long way since 1969 and the Stonewall riots to the legalization of same-sex marriage. I'm Mark Tara. Join me on this continuing journey through Rainbow Country. CIUT 89.5 FM. This is Rainbow Country, the station's gay radio show giving voice to the LGBT community. I am your tour guide through Rainbow Country. I'm Mark Tara. A little bit about me. I am an LGBT content creator. I'm also a singer, songwriter, recording artist, all that sort of good stuff. Get social, get interactive on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Mark Tara Music. Let me know that you listen to CIUT, you listen to Rainbow Country, and honey, I will follow you right back. Do you want to be on Rainbow Country? Do you want me to feature your music? Do you have a gay-owned business? You're an ally of the LGBT community. Get in touch. Send me an email and I'll have you on the show. mark@marktara.com. The podcast for Rainbow Country is on iTunes, as well as on podomatic.com. And again, everything is hooked up through my website, marktara.com, marktara.com. So, this is episode 56. On today's episode, American recording artist Rye Daisies. She has a new song out called American Stallion. So we'll find out all about what inspired American Stallion. And we'll hear about two LGBT documentaries. Now, these films were featured in the 13th annual Real Heart Film Festival. We'll hear about Small Town Rage, Fighting Back in the Deep South, and The Gay, the Negro, and the Holy Mountain. Well, my friends, this journey through Rainbow Country begins right now with Rye Daisies, Feeding the Beast.
This is City Councilor Kristen Wong Tam, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
Thank you. Diet Coke with that?
You sure can. And maybe a radio show as well. Welcome back to Rainbow Country, and I am your tour guide, I'm Mark Tara. And joining me now via phone live from America, USA, is American recording artist Rye Daisies.
Hey.
Hi.
Thanks for having me on.
You're more than welcome. How are you?
I am so good. I'm so good. I've been working my tail feathers off on this album, trying to get it finished for everybody.
Yeah. Well, happy belated 4th of July.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. Did you do anything?
We don't really have too much to celebrate right now.
Did you do anything special?
Well, I released my newest single.
Yes, American Stallion. We'll find out all about that a little bit later on.
Yeah.
But anything else?
No, not really. You know, just kind of worked through the day, basically.
Yeah, living the dream?
Yeah, exactly.
So Rye Daisies, you're going to have a new record coming out called Monstrous. Now, how would you describe the sound of this upcoming album? How would you describe it?
Well, the sound, I think I would describe it as maybe like creepy and spooky, without being campy, if
okay.
That makes sense.
Sure.
I was really inspired when I sat down and started writing the album. I was watching a lot of Scooby-Doo, and I just was really inspired by this idea of, you know, chasing these monsters the whole episode and being afraid of them, and then in the end, you take off the mask, and it's a human under the mask. It's not a monster at all.
Right.
So I kind of wanted to explore that theme and make kind of like a true-to-life horror album, if you will.
Wow. So are you, this might sound like an odd question, but are you into, say, the paranormal, the occult, that sort of thing?
Oh, totally. I can't lie. I totally am. I'm okay. Very intrigued by all of that.
Me too. So are you into, like, these movies like The Conjuring, that sort of thing?
I am. I'm totally a sucker for that. Bless my husband's heart, because he hates that kind of stuff, but he suffers through it with me.
Yeah. Some of those movies I cannot watch because I live alone, and I'll be like, oh, my God. I can't sleep. I'm just being honest, honey. I'm just being honest.
Hey, it's healthy to be scared a little bit
yes.
Every once in a while.
Yeah. So your new record that's going to be coming out, do you have a release date for the full-length record?
Right now it's in production, mm-hmm. And getting mixed and all that. We're shooting for a Halloween
cool.
drop, but we haven't totally set that date yet. I've been working with a really amazing producer named Angel M,
mm-hmm.
At her studio Block of Joy out in Los Angeles. And so it's kind of like this album by email because, you know, I'm by Detroit in Michigan and mm-hmm. she's over there in LA. So it's been kind of it's actually been kind of fun, a fun project. I'm doing my parts up here and sending stuff down to her. So
mm-hmm.
It's definitely a playing it by ear, but we're hoping for Halloween.
Well, good for you. So let's talk about your songs and your songwriting and your process. What inspires your music?
You know, I feel like that's kind of a loaded question there because there's so many different things,
mm-hmm.
You know. I've had weird dreams and woken up and like, was that music playing in my dreams? I better go write that down. And,
right.
And, you know, mostly throughout my songwriting career, I've written very personal songs, you
mm-hmm.
know, more about myself, my situations, what I'm going through, what
right.
I've experienced. And with this project, I kind of wanted to do the opposite. I kind of wanted to tell other people's stories.
Okay.
So this time I've been getting inspired by other people instead of the own crap I go through.
Right. And do you find it easier to write from your own experience rather than writing for, say, someone else or writing through someone else's experience?
You know, at first I found it a little bit challenging,
mm-hmm.
but I think part of it was getting into the character.
Right.
If you get into what you're working with, you know, I'm not an actor, I would never claim to be, but you know, you have a character and you're getting into it. And I think that made that process a lot easier, telling it from someone else's perspective.
Right.
And to be honest, as far as performing, it's a lot easier because when you're singing something that's very personal, it's almost like you're up there reading a page out of your own diary.
Right.
And that can, you know, be a struggle sometimes. So it's a little bit easier to sing other people's stories instead of your own.
So what comes to you first? Do you have, say, a lyric idea? Do you have a melody that you have in your head? Do you have a combination?
It really depends. It depends track by track. They each come differently. Sometimes I'll have, you know, a piano lick or an auto harp lick that I'm just messing around with. Like, oh, I got to do something with that. And sometimes it is a poem or just some random words that popped into my head. Like, oh, you know what? There's something there. I better do something with that. So really, it kind of varies from song to song.
Yeah. And so how have you been writing through other people's experience? Are they like your friends? And you might hear one of their stories and you're like, okay, let's bank that for an idea.
You know, sometimes it has been that case. My best friend, she was going through some personal issues and she came over and was crying on my shoulder. And I was like, you know what? Here, you take this auto harp and just play something, let it out through the music. And she's not the most musically inclined person as far as, you know, being trained that way. And she just started playing and she left. And I was like, damn, you know, that's a good story. And so I wrote this song and I called her later. I was like, I hope you don't mind, but I took your tragedy and kind of turned it into this little ditty.
Hey, if it can work for people like, you know, Taylor Swift and Alanis Morissette, it might work for yourself, right? Like taking life experiences and you know, letting the world hear about it.
Well, and you know, I think sometimes it gets boring telling your own story over and over and over again.
Sure.
And I hate to say this, but a lot of times I'm more inspired by bad things, sadness, you know, stuff like that. So right now, I've got married a year ago. I'm doing, you know, following my dreams. I don't really have that much bad crap to sing about anymore, so I needed to find something else to inspire me.
So the last time that you and I spoke, because you were here in studio at CIUT, so between then and now, you got married? Or were you married then?
I was married then, yeah.
Okay, got it. So the title of your upcoming record, full-length record, Monstrous, where did you get that title from?
The title track is called Monstrous, and in that song, it's kind of like an amalgamation of all of the other songs on the album, kind of singing the album story, I guess, if that makes sense.
Sure.
And in the lyrics of that song, I call myself Mistress Monster.
Okay.
And it just kind of came out one day. I was like, you know what? I kind of like Monstrous. I kind of like the sound of that. And it just stuck.
Cool. So you have a track called When You're Laying Down. What's that song all about?
That's kind of a naughty song.
Well, this is a bit of a naughty show.
Yeah. You know, I wrote that song. You know, we all get those messages from those F-boys, if you will, every once in a while. Hey, I was thinking about you last night. And for some reason, I got one of those, and it kind of turned me on a little bit to know that somebody was being turned on thinking about me. It was a little bit of a turn on. So I decided to write a song about that to, I guess, let him know it was okay for you to think about me when you're laying down.
Wow. So is it about phone sex?
I guess it could be.
Okay. Is it about, like, you know, masturbation?
Yes, exactly. And thinking about me while you do it, you know,
what? That is kind of, when you think about it, though, someone thinking about you and they're pleasuring themselves, that's kind of empowering.
Exactly.
You know, it's a bit of an ego trip, you know?
And it really was. And I was like, you know, I have to put that into a song. I have to tell this somehow.
And
without sounding like a total perv. So the easiest way to do that is just to put some music behind it.
Well, right, Daisies. Let's have a listen to when you're laying down. So you stay on the line. And for everyone else, have a listen. We'll be right back. Recording artist, Rye Daisies, welcome back.
Hey there.
So that's your track, When You're Laying Down.
That's an oldie but a goodie.
Do you like that song?
I do. I really do. That was one that I never expected or planned on putting out, actually. Mm-hmm. And my mentor at the time was like, you know you have to put that out, like, you have to do that. So I kind of got talked into that one.
Yeah. So Rye Daisies, let's get a little bit deeper. Let's get a little bit serious, so to speak. You are transgender.
I am.
You are. And when did you start realizing your true gender, so to speak? When did that start happening for you?
You know, for me, I always knew. There was never really a question in my mind about that. And I was lucky enough to have a loving and supportive family who, you know, gave me the space and the encouragement to fully be myself and to fully realize myself.
Right.
So that was definitely something that I always knew. I think everyone around me always knew.
Yeah. And you always knew from the get-go.
Yeah, there was never any question in my mind. I always felt different really isn't the best word to use, but it'll suffice. You know, I always felt different. Mm-hmm. I always felt not who I was on the outside. You know, my inside didn't match my outside.
Right. So does being transgender, does that influence your music at all?
You know, I think it does. And that opinion, that might piss some people off. But for me personally, you know, the moment that somebody finds out you're trans, mm-hmm. they immediately view you differently. And mm-hmm. and not always in a bad way and not always in a good way, but just differently, you right. know. And I think that thought alone, it kind of forced me to be a more observant person of others and of myself and, you know, how others viewed me.
Right.
And I think that was a part of why I needed to create and I needed to make music, because I wanted to be more fully understood as a person, as a human being. Mm. And I also wanted to use music to try to understand other people as well. So I would say absolutely, I think being transgender has influenced my creative process, if you will.
Yeah. So do you have particular songs that talk specifically about that? Because I know, I'm asking that because there's another artist that I feature here on Rainbow Country, Lynx from Random Order, and he has a track called Transmission. I believe that's, I'm remembering correctly, talking about, you know, being trans. So I'm just wondering if you had any particular songs that spoke directly to that experience.
I always kind of tried to shy away from that, to be
okay.
honest,
mm-hmm.
because I wanted people to listen without hearing that be the first thing that I said, if that makes sense.
Sure.
But there is a track about being trans on this upcoming album.
Mm-hmm.
It was something I felt with the way things are going right now in the world, mm-hmm. in my country, I felt like it was time that I raised my voice, I guess.
Mm. Well said. So speaking about music, you have a new single, American Stallion.
Oh, I do.
Talk to us about American Stallion. What inspired this track?
Okay, so American Stallion, it's kind of an amalgamation of a few different men that I've encountered through, mm-hmm. you know, through my life.
Okay.
And I
were
think,
they stallions?
I think they thought they were. I think we've all, anybody who has been in the gay scene for a while, I think everybody's met this guy, and he is the archetype of, you know, the hyper-masculine alpha male who just absolutely loves to bottom.
Oh, my God.
But
oh,
also
yes.
feels compelled to deny himself
yes.
of that because, you know, of society's preconceived notions of what makes or doesn't make a man.
Right. Right.
So I wanted to take that as, you know, a character, develop this into a character and kind of give him a voice, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So the album is out now. The single is out now.
The single is out now. It is up on iTunes
okay.
and YouTube. I have a video in the works right now. I got a really awesome male pole dancer named Andre Corey, who you should immediately go follow on Instagram.
Okay.
He is my video vixen for this project,
oh.
so that should be out pretty soon also.
Well, you'll have to let me know so I can let people know.
I will.
Yes. So how can people... So it's on like iTunes, that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. Yep, it's everywhere.
Excellent. And how can people find out more about Rye Daisies?
Well, you can check out my website. It's Rye, R-I-E, daisies.com. Or you can find me on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook. I'm pretty much everywhere.
Wow.
But once you find me, you can't get rid of me.
And why would anyone want to get rid of Rye Daisies and your and your fabulous music, and especially a song that where it's like, and can I get a Diet Coke with that?
Like, that was very tongue-in-cheek. I hope people get that.
I would hope so, too. Like, come on, really?
Yes. I'm just so thankful to be with you and to be on your show. And also, congratulations to you and whoever is listening for C16.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty big. I'm pretty jealous of you guys right
yes,
now.
Yes, Bill C16.
I think the states have a lot to learn from you guys in the way of human rights right now. So,
yeah.
Congratulations.
Right, Daisies. Wow, thank you for your time. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me so much.
And we're going to listen to American Stallion. Thanks for your time.
He sits in the corner alone, desperately warning and texts on his phone. He wants to lose himself in me, wants to lose himself. Pasturing every diligent mare. She's not good enough for me, the stallion cries. But what's good enough for me must remain lies. Lead him far away. He needs
Saturday, July 29th, Relentless Entertainment presents Drag Divas Live, featuring the live vocals of Toronto's very own Amanda Roberts, Toronto's number one Stevie Nicks impersonator, Crystal Visions, and drag recording artist Jade Electra at the 120 Diner located at 120 Church Street. Seating begins at 6 p.m., showtime at 6:30. $10 tickets in advance or $15 at the door.
And welcome back. You're listening to Rainbow Country, CIUT's gay radio show, and I'm your tour guide through Rainbow Country. I'm Mark Tara. So, last week I featured the Real Heart Film Festival, and that's the most current episode of Rainbow Country that's out right now. You can find that on iTunes, on Podomatic.com, as well as on MarkTara.com. Pick your poison. Now, during their Filmed with Pride event at the 519 Community Center, I caught up with some documentary filmmakers. So we'll hear from David Hyland, Radra Hall, directors of the documentary Small Town Rage, Fighting Back in the Deep South. That film is narrated by Lance Bass. By the way, the film also won Best LGBT Documentary from the Real Heart Film Festival. We'll also hear from Dave Lyons, director of the gay documentary The Gay, The Negro, and The Holy Mountain. And we'll also hear from Timothy and Justin from the 519 Community Center, and they'll share their thoughts on that particular documentary. So stay with me.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Segato, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
So once again, I am here at the 519 Community Center in the heart of Toronto's gay village in downtown Toronto. And I am here with two American filmmakers that made the film, the documentary, Small Town Rage, Fighting Back in the Deep South. I'm joined by American filmmaker Radra Hall and David Hyland. Welcome to Toronto.
Thank you.
We have had such a great time being here. This is our first trip to Toronto, and it's absolutely fabulous.
And I'm sure it's even made a little bit sweeter by the fact that you're having some Baskin-Robbins ice cream. Okay, first of all, what flavor, David, are you having?
I'm having a banana royal with chocolate and strawberry berry.
Wow. And Radra Hall?
As always, the pralines and cream.
That's my favorite and my mom's favorite.
I'm a Southern girl. I like my pralines.
Okay, so let's start there. Where are you guys from in the U.S.?
We are from Shreveport, Louisiana, which is in the northwest corner of Louisiana.
And David?
That's where I'm from as well. We both live and work in Shreveport.
So talk to me about your film, Small Town Rage, Fighting Back in the Deep South. What is this film all about, David Hyland?
Well, it basically chronicles the work of a very small AIDS activist organization in Shreveport, ACT UP Shreveport. And it was a band of about 35 individuals at one point. And they basically fought the system. They fought the medical community, the religious conservative community, trying to basically not only get services for HIV AIDS or people that were living with HIV and AIDS, but also they were trying to educate the public about not being so afraid. And they had to face a lot of atrocities. And so the film talks a lot about those things that they had to face, family and friends and professionals.
Radra Hall, why did you want to make this film in particular?
It actually started as a school project. We were taking a documentary filmmaking class together, David and I, and we had to pitch a project for the course, and he came up with this, and we thought it was a great idea, so we ran with it. We got one interview in the can when the course was done, and we was like, you know what? This story is too amazing. We have to keep going with it. So we had that one interview, then that one led to another interview. We wound up having over 20 interviews, and it just kind of became a passion for us. And just, it was an amazing story, and the bravery and courage of these people, especially in the Bible Belt in the South, you know, South Louisiana, it was amazing, and we wanted everyone to know about it.
And we were suspected that young people did not really have an appreciation for the history of the HIV/AIDS pandemic in the country and in our area. And so we were very much afraid that that historical perspective would be lost. So we thought that the best way to really bring this to the forefront is through film. So we made the documentary.
And I understand it's narrated by Lance Bass from NSYNC. Talk to me about how that came about. David Holland, how did that come about?
Well, at one time I was the celebrity coordinator for the Northwest or the North Louisiana Gay and Lesbian Film Festival. And so I had had contact with Lance's representatives about him coming to that film festival. And when we were looking for someone to narrate, we thought we couldn't find anybody that would be better suited. He's from the South. He's actually from a small town that's like 2.5 hours from Shreveport. So he's a Southern boy. He knows what gay life is like down there. And certainly with his notoriety, he could help us publicize the film. And so we approached him, and he jumped on it immediately and wanted to be a part of the project. So we flew to Los Angeles and spent a few hours with him, and he did a beautiful job.
So was that done in one day?
Sure, yeah. In fact, just a few hours. We had sent all the script to him in advance, and so being the consummate professional, he showed up ready to go, and he was flawless, you know. It was great. It was a great experience, and it really lent some credibility to the film, so we were very pleased.
So the title, Small Town Rage, Fighting Back in the Deep South, Radra Hall, where did that title come from?
ACT UP showed a lot of rage. I mean, it was a national, actually it was more worldwide organization, and that was their biggest thing, is the anger, and that's what motivated them. And so we're in a small town, and so the small town rage, you know, came up, and kind of the fighting back, that was, you know, basically what they were doing. They were fighting their community, the doctors, you know, everyone. So that's kind of where it came from.
Most of the people in America were associating AIDS as being a big city issue in New York and Chicago, Houston, Los Angeles, San Francisco. And the truth is, the problems that they faced were also faced in the South. But in small towns, it was much more intense because the conservative religious right was really doing a lot of work to try to demonize people that were living with AIDS. And so we really wanted people to know that the fight continued in small America.
So how's the response been to your film, your documentary, Small Town Rage, Fighting Back in the Deep South, Radra Hall? How's the response been?
It has been wonderful, much more than we ever expected. We premiered it in Shreveport at the North Louisiana Gay and Lesbian Film Festival because that was the most appropriate thing to do. We had 3 sold-out showings there. We've been to Scotland, Philadelphia, South Louisiana, Texas, here. We're going to New York in September. I mean, it's been amazing. We've gotten 4 awards. We're nominated for 4 more. So it's been well received.
So ultimately, where would you like to see this film end up? David?
Well, we'd like to see it get broad distribution so that, you know, after we finish the film festival circuit, then it's available on one of the larger distribution outlets, Netflix or iTunes, just so that the availability is there and people can really get the information without us having to bring the film to them. They can get it through.
And the message?
Exactly, exactly. And it's a powerful message. You know, ACT UP Shreveport, ended up starting the Philadelphia Center, which was an AIDS activist resource center. And within its own right, it has its own notoriety. And that all happened because of ACT UP. So.
David Hyland, Radra Hall, thank you both for your time, and thanks for making this film, this documentary. Good on you guys.
Thank you for having us.
Hello, Toronto. It's party time, and I'm Julie Lee.
I'm DJ Dallas.
You're listening to CIUT
89.5 FM.
I am here at the 519 interviewing Dave Lyons from Germany, who is the director of a film called The Gay, the Negro, and the Holy Mountain. Welcome to Toronto.
Yeah, hello.
So, The Gay, the Negro, and the Holy Mountain. That is your film.
Yeah.
Why did you want to tell this particular story?
It's a real personal story. I'm from a small village in Germany with only around 1,000 persons living there. And it's about a guy I knew since, for all my lifetime, because everybody knows everybody in this village. And I thought I need to change something in his life. So, because I thought he's in a bad situation and I wanted to help him a little bit. And it's a documentary, so of course I did write the treatment and then I directed it. I had several people who do the camera work, me too. And then I edited and so...
And so talk to me about that process. How long did it take you to film, to edit? How long did that all take?
It was about 3 years, I think, from the beginning. Because it was an absolutely self-financed movie. I did it in my free time. So I did it. And it was a long process which Marcus, my protagonist, had to go through. So it took some 2 years filming and 1 year editing, something like that.
What was the best part about making this film?
It's how the result went out now for Marcus, my protagonist, because he's much more happy than before. So that's the best thing about the movie.
And he became more himself, would you say?
Yes. He became more free. Freely? I don't know.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that was the aim of the movie. And yeah, I think it was a good result.
So the title, The Gay, the Negro, and the Holy Mountain, how did that come about?
Yeah, it's because I tell a story about a gay who didn't come out with it. And I tell a personal story. It's my story. So I am the Negro in this film. And the Holy Mountain, yeah, I don't tell it so loud that the people don't hear. It's just the name of the village where it happens.
Okay. So are you part of the documentary as well?
Yes, I am. Because in doing the documentary, I realized that it's not about this specific guy. It's about being different in a community. And because I'm the only colored guy in this village, and he's the only gay guy I know. So we are both different than the others. And so that's why we are both in the movie.
So you could relate.
Yes, yes. And as long as I was filming, I realized more than it was about my story also.
What was the hardest part about making The Gay, the Negro, and the Holy Mountain?
I think it was convincing my protagonist to do the movie with me.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. And I had to film, I knew what the movie should be about, But all the people in the village didn't know, but they know me. And they thought it's about just a carnival and something. And they didn't know, and I had to lie to them. And I know everybody, so it was not very nice to do this.
Are you happy with the final product?
Yes, I'm really happy with it. Of course, it's always, if you do a movie and you see it later, there are some things you would do. You would change, but I think 90% I'm really happy.
Dave Lyons, thanks for your time.
Yeah, thank you having me here.
Hi, I'm Liberty Silver, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
So I'm now joined by Timothy and Justin from, you guys work at the 519, and you both saw the film The Gay, the Negro, and the Holy Mountain. Justin, in general, what did you think of what you saw?
To me, it was actually like a very interesting film. It actually pointed out to me that gay lives matter in the community and what people actually had to do in order to actually fight back then for like the quality, yeah.
Well said. So, Timothy, what did you think?
Well, actually watching the film, I kind of connect to it personally because I noticed the struggles as of the individual in actually being himself or trying to come out to be himself in a society, in a small community. And that kind of speaks to me homely, deeply, because myself experienced such a difficulty from where I'm from.
And where are you from originally?
I'm from Guyana, small, very small country. As we can say, when a pin drop, you can actually, all your neighbors can hear. So the struggles of the individual, the actors, relating to small community living life, and coming out as an LGBTQ individual was very profound to me, and I really connected to the movie. And I found it very interesting, and it sent a very deep message. Thank you.
You're welcome. So, Justin, where are you from originally?
Barbados.
And you both work here at the 519. So, Justin, tell me, what is it that you do specifically here at the 519?
Okay, it would be like a numerous amount of things, depending on which event we may have. Sometimes I may actually be up in the office helping my boss/coordinator, Osmel. We would actually be like ringing in new members of the 519, typing in their names and specific information into the system. We could also be helping with certain events we may have, like the green space, which was actually Pride. We were taking care of the token sales. We had people with food. And I was basically Osman's assistant to make sure everything was okay and helping him, like, around the place with that whole event.
And Timothy, what is it that you do here at the 519?
I'm a proud volunteer. I enjoy volunteering here at the 519. It's a place of home where I feel welcome. It's a place where the community network is just opening and loving. And you can feel free to express yourself and volunteer your space. And I'm giving back to the community that gives to me, that welcomed me where I didn't find that welcome.
Well said. Timothy, Justin, thank you for your time and thanks for being on the show.
Thank you very much.
Hi, guys. This is Mika Barnes. Very happy to be with you on CIUT 89.5 FM.
You're listening to CIUT's gay radio show, Rainbow Country, and I'm your tour guide through Rainbow Country, I'm Mark Tara. Get social, get interactive on Twitter Instagram, Facebook, at Mark Tara Music. Do you want to be on the show? Do you want me to play your music, feature your music, all that sort of good stuff? Send me an email, mark@marktara.com. The podcast for Rainbow Country is on iTunes as well as on podomatic.com. And again, everything is hooked up through my website, marktara.com. Next week, UK recording artist Tim Arnold. Finally, I want to take this time to thank you for taking your time to be with me. Remember, we live in days of making dreams come true. So believe in yourself, and the world will believe in you.
Hi, I'm Mayor John Tory, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM. Mm.